There we go. So we finished up chapter 5 last week. No amount of conversation on verse 23. It was really very good. Oh, 1 Timothy 6. He's supposed to know that. Yes, 1 Timothy 6. And so, yes, I'm so embarrassed now. So the chapter breakdown looks something like this. Verses 1 and 2 talk about slaves and their conduct. Verses 3 through 10 talk about false teachers with regards to slavery. Verses 11 through 16, Paul talks about continuing in the faith. 17 through 19 are instructions to the rich. And then some concluding remarks in 20 and 21. Last week when we had a little chat about take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, I told you that the Bible mentions wine 262 times. So it was something that was of relative importance. The Bible mentions slavery 200 times. It mentions slaves, or slavery for a total of 200 times. So there's a lot to be said about that subject as well. And the first two verses, we'll just start there. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. So, these first two verses deal with slavery. It's unfortunate that some people found themselves in that position, but there you are. There's several ways a person could become a slave. They could be bought. You could exchange one slave for another, newer model perhaps. You might be enslaved to pay a debt. You might give a slave as a gift. You might inherit a slave in your inheritance. Some slaves volunteered to be slaves. Now, in the Hebrew system, they would put an awl and poke a hole in their ear. But this more than likely is Roman-style slavery, so I don't think that would apply, but you could be voluntarily be a slave. You know, and a master could be a really good guy, and so they volunteer for that. And it's one way that they can live, and if they have some special project that gives them a chance to work on it. You might be a slave if you've been arrested. And you might be born into slavery. You know, mom and dad were slaves. Guess what you're going to be? A slave. And one might become a slave as a spoil of war. I suppose you guys all know this, but if you don't, I'll tell you anyway. When the Germans rushed into Russia, they got as far as Stalingrad, which is on the Volga River. And they were there 2 years. And in those 2 years, the Russians finally got themselves together and they encircled the German army. Of course, the general, his name was Paulus, wanted to withdraw. Hitler would have none of that. So they had to stay there and fight and freeze to death. And almost a million German soldiers were taken prisoners of war. Only they just became slaves of the state. Of the million that were taken, 5,000 came back, General Paulus being one of them. He was a field marshal. The rest died as slaves of the state in the gulags. A horrible way to die. So that's another way that a person can be a slave. And the Russians didn't care. If you didn't eat and you starved to death, oh well. That's what you get for invading our country. And that's what, you know, we should think about when we're going to invade a country. For all those who are under the yoke as slaves, yoke means coupling. You're coupled with your master. And as we talked about, there are several different ways that one can become a slave. It says, are to regard their own masters with all honor. Why would that be? I mean, think about it in a practical sense. Why would you, as a slave, and maybe you've been like Joseph, sold off by your own family, why would you treat your master kindly? Well, okay. Well, I have other things to make. So that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. But why would you treat your master kindly? After all, he owns you. He has the right to kill you if he wishes. Go ahead, Bill.
I think one basic thing we need to understand is they're out of the Bible. The scriptures do not condemn the master-slave relationship.
Not at all.
And the book of Philemon is obvious one there. We have Paul sending the slave and servant back to his master. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then that's where he would have, you know, hey, Christian, you know, by leaving, you know, you need to take, you need to free the slave, which you don't. Now, obviously, the Old Testament, a lot of stuff in the Old Testament about the Jews having slaves, the different rules of conduct there, right? I'm not sure if you're going to go into those, but anyway. So it's not a sin to have slaves. So if you're in that position, then obviously you need to behave properly.
Okay, and Andrew's got a point.
Well, I mean, there's really two reasons, and they're both the same reasons, right? Worthy of all honor so that the name of God and our doctrine would not be spoken against. You want to represent yourself as a Christian. Because we're talking about slaves who are Christians here. You want to represent, you're basically representing your God. Mm-hmm. How would your God deal with these types of things? And what is the end of that? Maybe so that your master might also be Christian. If you're a no-good lad, you rob a slave, your master and you're a Christian, you're saying, my God's not worth anything.
Yep.
And if you try hard like Joseph did and are worthy and promoted and all of that, your master's gonna maybe ask you, why are you such a good slave? You know? And you might win your master to Christ. It's all from the same idea here.
Absolutely. But on another level, even if the master, and I think verse 1 is talking about masters who are not Christians. On another level, if you're a slave, like Joseph was a slave, and if you just get in and do the very best you can and honor the master, and in Joseph's case, of course, he made Potiphar rich. Don't you think that the master would be just a little easier on you? This is practical from that standpoint. The fact that if you respect your master, no matter what his religious convictions are, that he will treat you better than if you were to run away or steal from him or things like that. But the second part of that is that so no one will bring disgrace on God. So he said, so that the name of our God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. If the slaves were to be disobedient and rebellious, it would give Christianity a bad name because they'd say these people are just, they're just a bunch of bums. But if you, and this is not easy. You know, you have to read between the lines with Joseph because you don't get the whole story that, I mean, here his brothers sell him into slavery and Potiphar buys him and now he's a slave. I don't know. If that was me, I might sit down and say, oh, woe is me. And then listen, this jerk over here bought me, and now I'm his. Instead of that, he went about doing the very best he could for his master. And of course, he wound up second in Egypt. Okay. And it's interesting, but there are two slaves in the Bible, and the Bible really has nothing bad to say about them. And one of them is Joseph, and the other is Daniel. Daniel was a slave too. He was taken back to Babylon, I think he went to school for 3 years so he could learn how to be around the king. But those two men, who were both slaves, did their dead level best, and the people around them loved them. I think Potiphar liked Joseph, and the reason he put him in jail is because I don't think he believed his wife. But that's just my interpretation of that. And when Nebuchadnezzar talked with Daniel, it seems as though he's almost talking to his son. I think he genuinely loved Daniel. And Daniel always showed him the kind of proper respect that he should. Did somebody raise their hand? Yeah, Billy. Let it go? Okay. In Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 6, or I'm sorry, 5 through 8, this is another one of those passages that we talked about it when we did Ephesians, but it's the responsibility of slaves and masters. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. You get that? When you're being kind to your master, you're not being kind to the master, you're being kind to Christ. You're doing this for Christ's sake. Not by way of eye service, as man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. The masters had obligations as well. They weren't to abuse their slaves. You know, when we think of slavery, we think of slavery in the South, where they were almost all of them were abused. But that's not true here. So if we ever find ourselves in that condition, and I can't imagine us ever finding ourselves in that condition, but then I think that million German soldiers didn't think they'd ever find themselves in that position either. They came from a suave, sophisticated society. And I wonder how many of them had read the Bible and knew that it's better to treat your masters kindly than to be rebellious. Rebellious will only get you beaten. Billy, you had something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, this doesn't really apply to us today because we're not in that situation. But I think we are twofold. First of all, as employees, employers, that relationship, and we should shine as the star employee, not to feather our own nest, or as others might slangily refer to it on the job, you know. But the fact of the matter is I'm not doing what I'm doing to be the boss's favorite. I'm doing what I'm doing because the person I work for is above. And that's who I'm working for.
Is the Creator Himself.
And so that's number one. Number two, I think something that we all have to deal with this today, every one of us, is that it clearly says that, and Paul regarded to himself as a slave, Romans 1.
Mm-hmm. Slave of Christ.
Indeed, should be the same, think of ourselves in the same way. Mm-hmm. But if you look at this, and what causes God to be dishonored and his doctrine to be dishonored? We see it being touted on all the major networks to this day. That God was a some people who claim to be religious that are making statements and doing things that cause God's name to be disrespected, and furthermore, our doctrine to be spoken against. We've got people saying, "I'm a Christian, and I think you should do such and so, or we should do thus and so." Somebody this week I heard on the news was saying that casting aspersions upon the Bible and people who would call themselves Christians. And the whole deal is it's people who are standing where there is no footing to stand doctrinally that then get caught standing on something other than the Bible that then disrespect or cause people to say, "See, you don't even know what you're talking about."
Yeah, they're all hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's I've heard that. How many times have I heard that? More times than I care to count. Just a minute, Mike. I got to tell you about. I came as close to being a slave as a person could be without being one, because I got this little letter in the mail back in 1965 that said, "Your friends and neighbors require your service." And when I went in the Army, I thought, this is as close to slavery as you can get without being one. Did 2 years of that.
And you survived.
I did. Still had a bad attitude, though. If I'd had a good attitude, it would have been much better. Go ahead.
There's issues that we have to keep distinct one from another. God, at various different points in time, we see, has permitted slavery to exist. But at the same time, he is a God who hears those who are oppressed. He hears those who are oppressed, just as he heard the children of Israel when they were oppressed.
Yeah.
And then secondly, there's nowhere in Scripture that endorses racism. And that's another issue that we all have had in our, you know, historical past. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to keep these things in mind, not to blur those lines. God has condemned racism because he sent his son into the world to die for all men.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul went about preaching the gospel to everyone, regardless of their race. We even know that Philip, most likely on the road to Damascus, I believe it was, where he met the man, traveling in his chariot. That man was probably a black man, being the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was not and is no place in God's, you know, amongst God's people for an attitude of racism. And to look at one man differently because of the color of his skin.
What did Peter say after he had baptized Cornelius and reported back to the apostles? God is not a respecter of persons. So if you're white, it doesn't get you anything. If you're black, it doesn't get you anything. And if you're any color in between, it doesn't get you anything. God expects us to fulfill the simple commands that he has given us. Mike.
Two quick thoughts. In Romans 13, it says, you know, be subject to authority because all authority is from God.
From God.
Shortened down. It's mm-hmm. all. So, you know, it says, what you treat them with all honor right here. But I mean, really, we're honoring God because he made them an authority. They can abuse their authority. Like Saddam Hussein was in authority and very abusive, and some masters are abusive, but still, we are serving God, as someone else said, because there is no authority exists without God. And
right.
The second point is, I'm not sure how many people are aware of it, but, you know, there is slavery today in the world.
Yeah.
I remember back in the 90s, the Muslims were, was it Sudan? They in North Sudan were raiding Southern Sudan, where there was a you know, Christian population, whatever that means.
And they were black.
And they were kidnapping them.
Yep.
Bringing them back. And you could buy a human being.
Yep.
$15, you can own a human being with a Muslim war. So many Christian type organizations bought up the slaves and you know, great heart, great attitude, but what it did is it doubled the price of slaves. So then slaves were costing $30 to buy a human being. I don't know what the status is today, but I'm under the understanding that slavery does still exist there.
They just don't call it that. Just a minute, Andrew, I'll get to you. I'm thinking 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago, time flies fast the older you get, there was an agreement, a worldwide agreement, that slavery would be banned. And the last two nations that had slaves, that sold slaves on the market, just like you'd buy a chicken, was the Sudan and I believe it was Mauritania. And they agreed not to practice slavery. What they did was they just changed the name, and they still do it. I remember in high school, I believe it was 1962, that Saudi Arabia gave up slavery, and it was a big deal. And I wrote a paper about it, about paper and slavery and all that. And you could see that it was coming to an end. But within the last several years, every nation on earth has agreed not to practice slavery, but then the Sudan and Mauritania and other nations just call it something else. Andrew?
Well, two things. One, in the United States, it's illegal, right? But that doesn't stop people from enslaving people within the United States.
Sure.
The United States, we as a nation, said, yes, we have outlawed slavery, and yet there are people who were brought over here and treated as literal slaves. Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets to control this.
Amen.
I just got to tell you, that's the next verse I was going to read, so thanks for reading it for me. Dan and then Gary, I want you to bear in mind, we haven't even got through one verse yet. Go ahead, Dan.
In actuality, nations can say that they can agree not to enslave people, but they do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
On a regular basis. People that are not free are in some form of slavery. And again, the Bible talks about what you do in those circumstances. And we've already, you know, we've already ridden that horse.
We flogged that dog. I was thinking North Korea. Those people are all slaves. The population of North Korea are slaves. They're told what to do. They have very little to eat. And they're slaves. They may not work in a house, but they are slaves to the state, just like the serfs were in Russia. They were slaves to the state. Billy.
Quick follow-up.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Bill. No, I told Gary first, and then so it's Gary and then Bill. I'm going to keep this in order.
I don't know how far off subject this is, but bringing the verses up, honoring the master. Our modern day master was near our employer. It reminds me of this guy I worked with. I've worked with them for 3+ years, and I've heard 20 words out of him, and I'll be shocked. The only time you ever hear him speak is when he says, yes, sir, to the boss. He never speaks. He's just the most polite guy I've ever
you're absolutely right. Being a Christian is a little bit like pitching. You know, what are the three most important things in pitching? It's location, location, location. What's the three most important parts of being a Christian? It's example, example, example. If you show yourself to be an example of God living in you, don't you think people are going to see that? And if you've got a master, he's going to see it too. And life just gets a little easier. Okay, Bill, it's all yours.
Not perfect. I make plenty of mistakes, probably more than my share, and I don't say that lightly. I'm ashamed of some of the mistakes that I've made. I'm disappointed with the others and myself. But to keep in mind here that in today's world, it's so important for us to defend the truth by our prowess.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it just hurts me to the heart when people disrespect my God. And in today's world, it has become an in vogue thing to just make claims. And the fact that you make a claim doesn't mean it's true. And today, this week, some gal said, God is a sexist God. And I felt like, oh my goodness. If this was the old days, a God, lightning would come down. You know, and God was a sexist God because he doesn't give respect to women. You know, blah 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 blah. Okay, and so Janine and I were talking about it, and she said that's really going to hurt. I said, the greatest thing anybody can do when these claims, bodacious claims, are made about God and the Bible and Christ and say. And in the Bible and say, can you show me that in the Bible? Because it can't be done.
Most people don't know that Genesis is in the Old Testament. I mean, when we talk scripture with people, most people just don't even have a clue. Well, we see we're going to do one verse tonight. Go ahead, Mike.
I think it's important for us also to remember here that when Paul told Timothy to instruct regarding slaves and being in subjection to their own masters. This did not go beyond what Peter said when he was being interrogated in the book of Acts, when he said, we must obey God rather than men. Mm-hmm. So the limitation of the servant's duty to his master is when that servitude would require him to go beyond his service to God.
Right.
He would have to say respectfully, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And if he suffered for that, the scripture tells us that he would be honored for that. And that, as we see here, the doctrine of God would also be upheld.
Well, Peter felt that way when he was beaten. He said he was felt honored that he had it when he was beaten for Christ. Let's look at verse 2, if we can. Now, I think verse 2 deals with, I don't think it does, it says it does, deals with masters who are Christians. And one who comes to mind is Philemon. Philemon owned a slave named Onesimus, and Onesimus had run away, stolen some stuff and run away. He says, those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit of the believers and, benefit are believers and beloved, teach and preach these things. The word master carries the idea of absolute ruler, Lord. And to be disrespectful means to think against, to disesteem, or to despise. It's kind of the opposite of what Paul's trying to get home to Timothy. So slaves who have a Christian master must still show respect. And the master, on the other hand, must show respect as well. It's a two-way street. It works real well if you do it right. And as far as, Andrew brought this up earlier, but Acts 10:34 says, "And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God does not show partiality, is not one to show partiality." So whether you're a slave owner or the slave, both have a role to play here if you're an owner slave, and both have to be respectful to one another. And in the case of a slave owner being a Christian, you know what? We happen to share the same hope. We happen to worship the same God who forgives us our sins. But he says, but serve them all the more. Even though we're equal in God's eyes, there's still a separation socially between a slave and his master. So we're to serve our masters as if we were serving God. Bill mentioned something about work. Whenever I do a floor, I'll tell you about some of the floors I've done, just gorgeous. I've taken a black floor. It was black. It was black like this black. I thought it was maple, but I wasn't really quite sure. When I took the mop boards off, it was maple. But to take something like that that's just really ugly and then make it as beautiful as it, just like they just laid it. I would tell myself, and I don't mean to be blasphemous in any way, but that when I do this floor, I'm going to do it so well, nobody can do it better than me. And if God were to speak to me, he'd say, Bill, only I could do that better. That's the attitude that we should have when we go to work and work for our master. And there's nothing more satisfying than to take some old ratty floor that you didn't even know what it was and turn it into this thing of beauty. And the pride that goes into that work. And that's the kind of pride that slaves are to have with their masters. It's real easy for Bill to stand up here and, you know, move his jawbone and those words just kind of come out. It's quite another to practice it if we had to. But the Lord has told us what he expects from us. And if that situation were ever to arise, and I can't imagine it arising, but if it did, then we know what the Lord would want us to do. He'd want us to do the very best that we could do. Yes?
I think of the last phrase there, teach and preach these principles.
Right.
So these are principles that should apply to our lives, whether we're slaves or employees or volunteers doing some kind of service for somebody. We're to do it as if we were working.
That was my last point. You just stole it from me. that's right. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to ask you, are you going to speak about the concept of not being disrespectful, or were you planning to?
Didn't I mention being disrespectful?
I'm a little hard of hearing, so I missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, watch my lips. To be disrespectful, like slave to master, is to think against, to disesteem, or despise. That's the very thing the Lord doesn't want us to do. He wants us to do the very best we can for our master. So what's the end product of that? One, you live a little softer life, and two, God is glorified. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I was going to say that verse 2 is basically telling slaves that they should not try to treat their masters differently because they're brethren. Maybe thinking that they're going to just slough off or not work as hard or whatever. Paul's telling you, no, they should work even harder because they're brethren. And that's what part of the disrespect is. Just because Onesimus came back to Philemon as a brother, if he were going to stay with Philemon, that would mean that he worked much harder for Philemon than before because he's a brother.
Yeah, that gets back to what I said about doing the very best that you can do. There's an old song, Besto, Besto, do your very best, though. But if you're not Italian, you wouldn't know that. Go ahead, Mike.
Having been a boss, had a few employees, there's something that just is true in life. And so why would a slave be disrespectful to their master? Why would they despise them? And I tell every employee that I hire, I say, listen, you're going to make mistakes. I said, we all do. Some will be painful. And I hope you don't, but if you're going to make mistakes, and it's not the end of the world. Just be honest about it. And I said, I'm going to make mistakes. And the thing is that some of my employees are, all my employees are better than I am at something. They're better than I am. And they're also going to see me make mistakes. So it would be easy for a Christian or a non-Christian to despise a master because they might be wiser than the master in certain areas or more able.